Have any of you ever gone on a trip or a journey or gone on some sort of undertaking where you were not at all prepared and you had to totally depend on the kindness of strangers? Has that ever happened to any of you? No? Somewhat. I know that that most of us, especially us Marines, like to be prepared when we do something, right? You know, we like to have the packing list. We like to make sure that we can anticipate every need, every possible contingency. But of course, that's not always possible, right? I've actually had several of these occasions in my life, and you know, from the really insignificant ones, like going surfing and locking my keys in the car and having to, you know, find somebody that will let me use their phone so I can call my wife to come let me into the car, to the much more significant ones, like when we moved to New York City to start a church for homeless youth. Now, this is not, take this under advisement, this is, I'm not recommending this as a missional strategy. I can't say this is like a good way of doing things. But I was much younger and much more adventurous at the time. And what we did when we moved from Portland to New York is we basically sold everything that we owned except what would fit into a Toyota Camry and a U-Haul trailer that could be pulled by a Toyota Camry, which is not a very big U-Haul trailer, let me tell you. A four-cylinder Camry can't hold a very big trailer. We got rid of everything, didn't have a job lined up, had some leads, but nothing lined up. Basically just found a three-month sublet for the summer on Craigslist and had enough money saved up to basically last those 3 months, and then we were going to be kind of out of luck. And so we moved into the sublet, and I eventually did find a job. I found a really great job that ended up working the whole time that I was there in New York with Nyack College. But the hiring process in that job was pretty lengthy, and we were coming to the end of our sublet, and it was still several weeks before I was going to start my job, and we didn't have anywhere lined up to live. You know, I was still didn't have a job. We were looking into where the homeless shelters were, and we were, you know, basically just trying to figure out what we were going to do. And I found out what it was like at that time to depend upon the kindness of strangers. In this case, there was this pastor who I had just met, knew him through mutual connections, but we had only met briefly before, came to his church one Sunday, and they had a picnic, a church picnic afterwards. And we were chatting. I told him a little bit about our situation, and as soon as he heard our story, he said, "You know what? The Holy Spirit's telling me something, and what the Holy Spirit is telling me is that I need to let you come and stay in the basement apartment of my house until you find somewhere to live." And so we did. So we moved to Brooklyn, and we stayed in this basement apartment in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, and we kind of established our life there, and that's where we lived the whole time that we were in New York. So that was the beginning of our adventure there, and it was one of the many experiences in my life where I saw how when you're called to something, God takes care of you and provides for you. And so today's gospel reading is all about kind of that same thing, being sent, being called. In this case, it's Jesus sending his disciples out ahead of him. Of course, this is parallel to the Great Commission that we heard at the end of Matthew a couple of weeks ago, except this isn't at the end of Jesus' ministry. This is kind of near the beginning, right? His mission strategy is to send his disciples out and kind of prepare the way for where he's going to go around and be this itinerant preacher and healer. But we also understand this passage as kind of a model for how we are called as the church, right? We are sent out, and this is the first time that Jesus calls his disciples apostles. Okay, and the difference is that word apostle means to be sent. That's literally what it means. And of course, this idea of apostleship is how we define ourselves, and especially our sense of mission in the Episcopal Church, because you know we have a strong value for apostolic succession, right? We value the fact that our bishops are in a line of being sent out from another bishop going all the way back to the original apostles. That validates and empowers our ministry. Now, notice what motivates Jesus in the first place to even think about sending these folks out. He was filled with compassion. He's motivated not by a desire for power, not for notoriety, not even for a desire to get people to believe the right things. It's just a genuine love for people and a desire to see them healed and to see them whole. And that's why he sends out workers to the harvest. And we should also take note, if we're applying this to our own ministries, that Jesus doesn't ask the people to come to him for healing, right? He sends the apostles to the people, to the highways and the byways and the neighborhoods. And so how might we understand this in the way that we see our own calling to bring that message, to bring that healing to people? To bring this message of the kingdom out into the world, the apostles are going to have to travel lightly, right? This must have sounded like a daunting task to them back then. I mean, no sandals, right? You got to go barefoot. And perhaps it's even more daunting to our modern sensibilities, because this goes against this instinct that I talked about earlier, which I think we can agree we all have in some way, where we want to be prepared for stuff, right? I mean, if that wasn't a natural instinct in people, then Costco wouldn't exist, right? I mean, we gotta have Costco-sized portions of stuff just in case, right? And that's not, I love Costco, so I'm talking bad about it. But as I'm sure many of you know, the things that we accumulate, or dare I say, hoard, along the way can also become burdens that start to weigh us down, that start to prevent us from actually being free. And this is a tough lesson to learn as individuals. But I think as a community, here at Holy Cross in particular, we've learned a great deal about traveling lightly, right? Of course, it hasn't been an easy lesson to learn or a fun lesson to learn. When I first took a look at that biggest storage unit there at our storage facility over by Gateway, and I opened that door, the sense of despair and hopelessness that filled me when I saw that was overwhelming. How could we even begin to downsize that mess? Judy and I went there. I was climbing around. I was nearly impaled by the Christus Rex. It was terrifying. But I'm happy to say that now, if you haven't heard, we have actually, that storage unit is now empty and gone, and we're not paying for it anymore. We've gone from 3 down to 2 units, and we're almost ready, probably this week, to get it down to 1 storage unit again. And of course, in our move here to Jayco, we've also seen the benefits of traveling lightly, right? I have the advantage of some perspective of also working for a very large church, which you know has a large facility, an extensive campus. And not that that isn't a good thing, but I also see how much it costs to maintain that sort of physical plant. And I see so many churches that have these properties and they're shackled to these properties. They spend more time and money on maintaining their properties than the actual work of ministry. And there's more than just the financial side of things. Of course, having a space of one's own is important, but our situation here at Holy Cross has enabled us, empowered us, given us the opportunity to look for all sorts of different ways to do ministry and to actually be out in the community that we serve. And the first example I can think of this is our services at La Costa Glen. We've brought the church to the people where they are, and that's especially beneficial to members of our community who aren't always able to be here. Our presence at Pride by the Beach a couple of weeks ago was another one, and we've got our flag out there to remind us, our prayer pole. We were able to create a space out in the community for people to find spiritual connection right where they were. I've heard this week about how our Wounded Warriors ministry is growing and expanding. That's another way that we're bringing the church out into the world. Notice that Jesus tells the apostles to find the places of peace, to find the places and the people who get it, right? The people who are ready to hear what they have to say, who are ready to accept the love that they have to give. And he tells them to remain in those places. He doesn't send them out to proselytize. He doesn't send them out to confront people. He doesn't send them out to argue with people. They're called to receive peace as much as they're called to give it. Because that is really what evangelism, that dreaded E word, right, is all about. It's about a shared space of hospitality where we learn to both give and receive the power of love. I often tell people that I didn't really know who Jesus was until the kids that I met on the street taught me who Jesus was. I received Jesus from them. And they never said the word Jesus. So in all of this, in traveling lightly, we're reminded that we're dependent on grace for everything that we do. And that might seem scary, but for me, it's incredibly liberating. Because we don't have to worry about manufacturing results. We don't have to worry about statistics or metrics. We don't judge the value of what we do by these standards of endless expansion, of endless growth. Now, of course, we have to be good stewards of our resources. I recognize that. But we don't hold on to them so tightly that they become ends unto themselves. This is one of those cases where I think the King James Version says it really well in this passage. Freely ye have received, freely give. And finally, in looking at Jesus' call to the apostles, we see that the primary thing that we're called to do is provide space for healing. Jesus' ministry isn't about growing the church. It's about curing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons. In other words, it's about healing and wholeness in mind and body and spirit, creating reconciliation, putting things back together that are broken. And that, I think, is an essential ministry back then, and especially right now, when the brokenness and disconnection are everywhere. So by traveling lightly, we give ourselves the freedom to make that space for others, especially for those who aren't like us, and allowing for that mutual healing to take place. And so this seems to be the theme, right, as we go through this green season of the church. We don't need to know exactly how we're going to do it. We don't need to go to Costco and pick up a pack of healing supplies to make sure that we're well-equipped for the journey. We have just what we need. So let's allow ourselves to be moved by that same compassion that moved Jesus. And let's go out and do that work that we're called to do. And I pray this with you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.